Hey y'all, this is Dana. Hey y'all, this is Dana from DAS Financial Aid Consulting Services. I'd like to welcome you into another episode of Let's Talk Financial Aid for College. And in this episode, I'm going to let y'all know updates on processing the 2024-2025 FAFSA applications and when students and their families are projected to have access to their aid eligibility, and also when you'll be able to make those necessary ICER corrections that everybody's been waiting to have access to. Before I get started, I just wanted to let y'all know that I had a couple of losses. And it took me a little bit of time to get through the mourning phase, which is still ongoing, but I'm able to at least provide you with this service. The person that I lost was Teresa Harris of Scholarship Mama, and she and I collaborated for quite a few years. We met during COVID, and then we developed a relationship, and we hosted quite a few Instagram lives as well as Facebook lives, and we shared a couple of podcasts together. I hosted, and she was a guest, and so it took me by surprise when I had seen she had posted in February that she was taking a little bit of time off, and then she was going to be due to come back on March 1st. And then all of a sudden there was a post placed by her team that said that she had passed away. So again, that was a huge loss to not only myself, but the community of financial aid and to the students and families that she was helping, as well as obviously to her family and friends. So I just wanted to let y'all know that's part of the reason why I didn't have a podcast last month as planned. The other loss just happened actually on Thursday. I lost my grandfather, and he lived a long life. He was 94. In fact, he just turned 94 a couple of weeks ago. He was a Korean War veteran. And so that's something else that's been going on. On top of, my mother had a slip and fall back in January and ended up breaking her femur, which basically, it wasn't her hip, but it was her femur, and this was a big deal. She lived alone, and so I kind of had to pick up and take care of her and living an hour plus away from where she lives. So that's been something else I've been juggling on top of everything that's going on in the world of financial aid, and also, you know, trying to work too. So I just want to thank y'all for your support, and just wanted to let you know I haven't left you hanging. It's just a matter of I've just been juggling a lot lately. And so today I'm happy to be back and providing you with as many updates as I can with regards to what is going on with this 2024-2025 FAFSA. So, without further ado, I'm going to dive right in. As many of you know, this award year, up-and-coming award year, this FAFSA, has been nothing short of a hot mess. And the reason why it's been a hot mess is because the powers that be, Secretary Cardona, and also the other staff members that he has running the show, dropped the ball. There's no other way to put it other than they dropped the ball. They had 3 years to get this FAFSA and the system ready to make the FAFSA available in the time that it needed to be made available, which was October of 2023. They did not make it available. They kept delaying it and delaying it. And when they did make it available, finally, they made it available for only about an hour or so on December 30th of 2023. And the system was never tested. And I understand, I've been in this industry now for over 17 years. And I know every time we have a FAFSA launch, there is always an issue with programs. It happens. But there is no reason why this has had to carry out the way it has had to carry out to the last minute, which is what's been going on. Now, this week, there was a hearing that was held by the subcommittee on higher education and workforce development, and I attended that hearing on Wednesday. I also had provided links to the hearing for everyone to watch it, and through my social media that I'm tied to, which is my Facebook page, as well as to my LinkedIn page. And there were two representatives that are actually also in the same boat as y'all, where their children are getting ready to, you know, fill out the FAFSA. And as of Wednesday and today, they still don't know what their eligibility is. And they haven't received any award offers or award letters from the institutions that they've applied to, because, again, we're in a limbo. Okay? So, just if you're new to the show, I just wanted to let you know that not only am I providing this information to you through my company, DAS Financial Aid Consulting Services, but I literally work in the industry for career and technical schools. I review financial aid applications. I process them once they're ready to go. And I provide the award letters. And so I am hands-on. I know exactly what's going on. And again, I can say that this upcoming award year, as well as this 2024-2025 FAFSA, has been, again, nothing but a fiasco. So what we have at this time is, there has been update provided through the fsapartners.ed.gov to the financial aid professionals. And why they're not providing this to the students and the family, their families, I have no idea. Now I'm losing my train of thought and I apologize. Federal Student Aid has a Facebook page, and they keep promoting, you know, how to fill out the FAFSA. They keep promoting this student debt relief, which I'll get into in another show, because that right there is just ridiculous what's going on there. But just to stay focused on what's happening with these updates, they're not providing you with the updates, which is why I am providing you with the updates as best as I can. So there is a gentleman that is, his name is Rich Cordray, and he's like an assistant to Secretary Cardona, and he's been providing the Education Committee and the Workforce Development have been basically trying to take them to task. Not only was the hearing on Wednesday, but prior to that, they had sent letters upon letters. The chairperson, Virginia Fox, had been sending letters upon letters to the Department of Education and not receiving any responses. They've been stonewalling. So then all of a sudden they decided, okay, well, we're going to go to fsapartners.ed.gov and we're going to all of a sudden start listing updates, which part of the reason why is they missed their deadlines left and right. So as of April 1st, they started reeling out these updates. So the update that came through yesterday was stating that they delivered information to schools and states for nearly 7.3 million 2024-2025 FAFSAs. And supposedly, they've returned to a normal processing time of 1 to 3 days after the FAFSA form is submitted. The only thing, having said that, is they had also posted out that on April 11th, which was Thursday, that there were issues going on with the initial FAFSAs that were being processed. And it had to do with the information that was not linking from the Internal Revenue Service. So that meant that the results of the initial applications that were being received are not exactly accurate. And so, and that information gets placed into this calculation to tell financial aid professionals what the student based on this chart is going to be eligible for Pell Grant, for SEOG funds, for a direct subsidized loan, in for a direct unsubsidized loan, etc. So now they were telling folks, as of the announcement on Thursday, that they were going to reprocess the initial applications to try to get the correct calculation. But in the interim, because everybody's waiting on pens and needles as to whether or not they're going to be able to go to school, to make the decision as to whether or not they're going to go to school, that they could use estimated figures from the initial until they got the actual the reprocessed application, if you will, which still is a hot mess because the system is not ready to process the actual aid. That's still another section of this, the whole part of the system that's not working. So they're trying to put a band-aid on another, on top of a band-aid, if you will, to stop the bleeding of what's going on right now. And they're trying to salvage this, the 2024-2025 award year. On top of that, by now, they should be working on the 2025-2026 FAFSA. Okay? So this whole thing is just snowballed into the biggest mess that nobody apparently foresaw or thought that this was going to happen. Not to mention we're in the middle of, you know, an election year. So right now, there are schools that are receiving FAFSAs, the applications, and those applications, again, we don't know if they're accurate or not because of the way the system is turning out the information. And so, again, based on what they said on Thursday, I will read directly from this announcement for you, that it was put in two parts. But it says that the department has transmitted de-icers from more than 7 million FAFSAs to schools and states. As previously noted, some of the icers were affected by calculation errors and inconsistent tax data. For more information on these issues, see the Technical Frequently Asked Questions and Known Issues document. So you have to go to another document for that. And then they reference another electronic announcement, two other electronic announcements. So the next paragraph, it says, the department intends to reprocess all of the affected records in the coming weeks as described in the electronic announcement. That is the third electronic announcement referenced in this statement. However, schools and states do not need to wait for those reprocessed records. For the purposes of packaging and dispersing aid expeditiously, Schools and states may, based on data provided by the department, use their judgment to rely on the original ICER set, not the reprocessed record, if the following three conditions are met. Okay, now we're into conditions, all right? The ICER is based on the 2024-2025 FAFSA form and is the basis for aid offered and disbursed during the 2024-2025 award year. Well, of course. Why wouldn't it be? Because that's what was completed. Hello? The second item that you have to check off is the original ICER results is greater financial aid eligibility for the students. If the reprocessed ICER is greater financial aid, schools may make estimated offers now, but must use the more accurate reprocessed record for final offers and disbursement of funds. Now, how confusing is that? Right? How confusing is that? 1 minute they're saying use the original ICER. Next minute they're saying, well, if the reprocessed ICER is greater, how do you know which one's right? Is my question, without reviewing the information that was entered on the application with the parent and the student, just to confirm that the information is accurate. Because if it's not accurate and conflicting, which is in the USDE guidelines that all conflicting information needs to be resolved before you can award aid. All right? Again, here we go with trying to put a band-aid on top of a band-aid to stop the bleeding. The third item is the ICER is subject to reprocessing by the department due to one of the errors described in the fourth electronic announcement referenced in this state. This particular guidance and listed below. For more information on these issues, again, it references the technical frequently asked questions and known issues document. So these are some of the items that could be a problem, if you will. Pell Grant eligibility flag is incorrectly blank. The Pell Grant eligibility flag, ICER field 571, was incorrectly blank for some students. Well, if it's blank, then you're not going to know whether or not they're Pell Grant eligible or not. So how are you going to give an estimate? The second item they say that could be incorrectly set is the Pell Grant eligibility flag is incorrectly set to Y on ICERs without a student aid index. Now, a student aid index tells the financial aid professional whether or not, based on the Pell Grant chart, what the student's going to be eligible for Pell Grant, and also direct subsidized loan. The Pell Grant eligibility flag, ICER field 571, should not be set to Y on rejected records. Okay. Now we also have a comment code of 217, sometimes appears incorrectly. A small number of ICERs incorrectly include comment code 217 instead of 327. Now these comment codes are in another table of contents, if you will. There's a whole list of comment codes that you have to go as a financial aid professional and look it up to see what the comment code means. So there we go. Then it says dependent students with assets in blank SCA, FPS was not including all data fields needed to correctly calculate the SAI for the dependent students who reported assets. So what this means is that if the assets weren't reported correctly, and let's say they have over $1 million in assets or $500,000, you know, $500,000. If the assets aren't correctly calculated, that throws off the student aid index calculation, which means that people could be getting Pell Grant money, being told they're getting Pell Grant money when they shouldn't be getting Pell Grant money, okay? Which again takes away from the U.S. taxpayer or the person that's on the lowest of the totem pole, which this whole entire system is said to be set up to help. The disadvantaged and the lower income students, this is why this is supposed to be able to help them. Well, it's not helping them, and it's discouraged anybody from applying to go to college right now because this has been such a headache and not an easy process. And I can tell you that there's a number of financial aid professionals that are ready to throw up their hands and just walk away and go get a job and do something in their life that they really want to do for a living. Instead of having to deal with the U.S. government and their messed up system on trying to dole out money that they shouldn't be doling out money until the system's ready to go. What they should do for this year, and a number of people have said this, they should revert back to the current system that they're running on for the 2023-2024 award year until they can get the new system up and running. But we're not going to probably be able to do that. Because knowing the government, they probably shut everything down so that you can't you're not going to be able to process anymore, which is at a certain date. I mean, they're still processing the applications now, and you still have until June 30th to fill out the 2023-2024 FAFSA. The only problem is if you're going starting school as of July 1st, that FAFSA is not applicable to the award year, because the award years run from July 1st of every year till June 30th of the following year. So, again, I could go through, there's another 10 items at least listed on this announcement with regards to the inconsistent tax data, with regards to education credits, amended and updated tax returns, Schedule H indicator. The department found a number of ICERs with their other mismatched data, mostly with the Schedule H indicator. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And then it tells you additional details. Assessing an institution's use of professional judgment. Well, how can you use a professional judgment when you don't even have a starting point? So, again, this is just a situation that was unnecessarily caused by a group of individuals that were put in charge of running a branch of government, and they had no idea of what they were doing. And so this is where we are right now, folks. And you should be so irate at the situation, because if you are a U.S. taxpayer, this is your money. This is your money that they're playing games with. On top of the student loan forgiveness that they're doing, that they're not supposed to be doing, because U.S. Supreme Court said you can't do it without authorization from the Congress. So this president, who is not cognizant half the time, so there's somebody else in the background that is writing up all this information and direct orders and having him sign these pieces of paper, that he's pandering to voters. And if the money doesn't get paid back to the coffers, there's not going to be enough money to give out to future generations that are going to go to college. Because the majority of people right now have such a sour taste in their mouth about going to college because, one, it's too expensive. And the piece of paper that you're getting if you do get a four-year degree, you can't get a job half the time in the field that you got your degree in. So unless you're going to a career or technical school that basically is affordable and has it's a certificate program, and as soon as you get out, graduate from that program, you are placed and you are working and you are paying back your loan money. And the loan money isn't hundreds of thousands of dollars that you borrowed. It's a reasonable amount that you can pay back based on the income that you are making. But I am just putting it out there that we are still, even though they're saying that these applications are being processed, corrections based on the hearing that I attended on Wednesday are slated to maybe be available on May 1st. Maybe. Okay? That's a maybe. When it comes to whether or not you're going to be able to make a decision as to whether you can afford college right now, the majority of the clients that I have spoken with, their students are planning on taking a gap year because this is how much of a mess the situation is right now. Why sign yourself up to go into school when you don't know if you're going to be able to afford it? And if you're applying for financial aid, that should be something that you're just, it shouldn't be something you're relying on, is what I'm going to say. You should have already had a plan years ago if you had planned on to go to higher education. If this is something that all of a sudden your freshman year of high school that you started thinking about, and then your sophomore year you thought started, you know, considering it even more so, but then all of a sudden your junior year you were like, oh yeah, I really gotta go to college, I don't know where I'm gonna go, but I'm gonna get it all wrapped up into going on college campus visits, and I'm gonna, you know, try to figure out what's the best college I could go to because they have the best cafeteria food and they have the best dormitories and the best party atmosphere. Yeah, if you're going to college for that, forget it. That is not the reason why you should be going to college at all. The reason why you should be going to college is that if you wanted to enhance your education and put it into a career form, like if you wanted to go into cosmetology or if you wanted to be a mechanic, an automobile specialist, or you want to, you know, be an electrician, which we need plenty of those folks, and if you want to expand your horizons and go into HVAC, or if you want to be a plumber, those type of careers, those are what you should be going into. If you want to be a medical assistant, by all means, be a medical assistant. But if you're medical, these are all certificate programs that I just reeled off. And I can tell you right now, they cost far less to pay for. And it, you can get a cosmetology license in, for most states, it's a 1,500-hour program. A 1,500-hour program. You got one year, and then there's, so 1 year would be 900 hours, and then the second part of the program is 600 hours. And then again, you're placed and you're off and running. But with these, like I said, degree programs, forget it. You know, there's only so many English literatures, and let me tell you what, if you're trying to say that you're going to journalism school, there is no journalism anymore. No, they're not teaching journalism. You're not getting the facts and writing a story, you're writing opinions. That's all you're writing is opinions now, and clickbait, and a bunch of stories. That's what it is. It's glorified creative writing and storytelling. That's what most of it is. So right now, the situation is, again, they're saying they're processing the applications, but the applications have multiple errors on them, so the applications are not exact. The system for corrections is not going to be made available until maybe May 1st, and the system to process the aid hasn't even been released, and nobody's tested it to see whether or not, on my end of it, nobody has tested it to see whether or not it's ready to go, because again, the applications that are coming being processed are not accurate. So we don't have the information to be able to plug it into the processing system to process the aid. So that's where we are. That is where we are right now. And as I've stated, if y'all are considering going to college, I would really highly recommend this year be a gap year. And you know, maybe go find yourself a job, get some money, put it in a bank account, and get ready to go for next year. And hopefully they'll have everything panned out. But at this point in time, I don't see it happening. And the hearing that I attended, there is you can rewatch it on a YouTube, and you can go ahead and watch it through the Ed. Let me get the direct name here for you. Committee on Education in the Workforce. That's where you go to on the YouTube page to be able to watch it. The only other thing I wanted to go over with y'all real quick, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, is about this student loan forgiveness that all the media is touting. And President Biden had that big announcement, I believe it was in Wisconsin, about student aid debt cancellation. Okay, again, he can't cancel the debt. He can't cancel the debt because Congress hasn't approved it. The United States Supreme Court stated that, as a matter of fact, in their decision on June 30th of last year. Right now, the Fifth Circuit of Court of Appeals has also upheld the Supreme Court's decision. So they just reverted back to the Supreme Court's decision and said that the president doesn't have authority to do this. Okay? So if you hear in the news that these student loan debt is being canceled, it's not being canceled. It's being put into limbo. And the accounts are still active. The only thing he was trying to do in two instances. The first is put public student loan forgiveness. Now, public student loan forgiveness, and I've stated this and had this in my prior podcast that you can go back to and listen to. That was established in 2007 under President George W. Bush. And that was under the College Cost and Accessibility Act. So I think it was College Cost Reduction and Accessibility Act. And basically that was to have folks that were interested in going into careers for public service, such as police officers, EMTs, nurses, teachers, all of those folks who signed up to go to college under public student loan forgiveness plan, they had to go to college, get their degree. They had to work in the system. They had to work under those public service programs that I was just stating. And they also had to pay on their loans for a certain period of time. If they met all of that criteria, then they were eligible to apply for public student loan forgiveness for approval. Okay? That is what is going on. The second item is you hear a lot about the income-driven repayment plan, or the Biden administration tried to change that plan because we were on a stay for a while during COVID. Okay, there was no interest being accrued during COVID, but that didn't mean you couldn't pay on your student loans. But I know there was probably quite a few people that just said, okay, I'm not gonna pay at all, and they just let it sit there and sit there and sit there. Okay, for what, almost 3 years? What is happening now is that they tried to rename the income-driven repayment plan to the SAVE plan. And then they were trying to set up your payments, but it was being set up based on criteria that you can't base it on, because that is against the federal regulations for fair lending laws and for fair lending laws and regulations. So a couple of the examples that they put out was regarding marital status and your gender and where you lived and also your family size. You can't do that. It says right there in the fair lending laws and regulations, lending discrimination statutes and regulations, you cannot, under the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, it prohibits discrimination in any aspect of credit transaction. So you can't base your payment on your race or color. You can't base it on your religion. You can't base it on your national origin. You can't base it on your sex. You can't base it on your marital status. And you can't base it on your age. You also can't base it on the applicant's receipt of income derived from any public assistance program or the applicant's exercise in good faith of any under the Consumer Credit Protection Act. But this administration, as Chairwoman Fox has stated over and over again, Biden is tone deaf. And this was a press release from yesterday from the Committee on Education and the Workforce. And I'm just going to read it real quick to you. It said, today, Education and the Workforce Committee Chairwoman Virginia Fox, Republican, and Representative North Carolina issued the following statement on Biden's latest student loan shenanigans. Quote, the administration is tone deaf. There is no other way to put it. Just 2 days ago, the committee heard from experts what American families have experienced for months. The administration did not make implementing bipartisan FAFSA simplification a priority. Both Republicans and Democrats expressed their frustration with Biden's bungled FAFSA rollout filled with delays, mistakes, and misleading political spin. After 3 years, the new FAFSA should have been ready for students last October, not still filled with errors in April. As a result, 40% of students' futures are now in FAFSA limbo due to the administration's mitigated disaster of a rollout. We know that instead of doing its job, the administration focused time, energy, and resources on its illegal student loan scheme. And that has been frustrating, especially since it has jeopardized the academic journey of millions of students. But what is absolutely maddening is that the administration is still not doing its job and instead focusing on its student loan shenanigans. Enough is enough, Mr. President. So, as I stated at the beginning, this award year, the 2024-2025 award year and its FAFSA, is a hot mess. And there's little hope that we're going to be able to salvage this award year. As a financial aid professional, there's little hope that we're going to be able to salvage it. Because at this point in time, let's face it, we are, as of Monday, April 15th. That puts us only 3 weeks away from graduation season for our high school seniors. And the majority of them at this point in time, maybe you've committed to schools, but you don't know if you can actually go. So, as someone that works in this industry, I am embarrassed. I am embarrassed, and as a taxpayer, I am furious. I have never seen such a lack of integrity, accountability from the individuals that were hired to do this job, and that the American people ended up voting, putting faith in and voting into office to represent them. And this is what they do. So as I close out for this session, this episode, I just want to put out there that, again, we are in an election season. We are literally 205 days away from having to go to the polls and elect another round of representatives for us. You're hiring people to do a job for you, folks, by your vote. I am telling you right now, you vote policy, not personality. You vote who's going to have the best policy for your best interest. If you were running a company, you vote who you would hire to run your company. You don't vote for the person that is the most popular. I'm just going to put it out there. And I know that my tone is a bit different than it has been of past podcasts. But like I said, I am furious. I'm frustrated. And I cannot believe that we have individuals that are in these positions that are supposed to be helping future generations, and they have left everybody just sitting there waiting and not doing anything to help the situation out. So I sincerely hope that y'all just remember this 205 days from now. On top of everything else that's going on in our world, I just sincerely hope that you understand that your vote is tied to your future. And your vote is also tied to this fiasco with the Department of Education. And again, I will come back and give you the updates, and I will provide you with as much guidance and information that I can, as long as they're providing it to me to be able to provide it to you. But right now, I have little faith that we're going to be able to salvage this award year. But if you have any questions, by all means, please contact me. You can go to my social media, which, I'm on Facebook. I have my personal page, and I also have DAS, Financial Aid Consulting Services, has its own page. I'm on LinkedIn under Dana Anderson, and you can see my updates there. I also have a business page on LinkedIn as well. And for right now, those are the social media outlets where you can catch me. I do have an Instagram page. I'm working on going back to doing some lives there for you. But right now, those are where you can catch me. And if you can always email me if you have questions under D Anderson, ANDERSON, at DASFinancialAidConsultingServices.com. And for right now, I'll leave it there. I hope you all have a nice rest of your weekend. And I'll be talking to you soon. Take care.